Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 12, if you would please, one of my favorite verses. Short verse, but expect a lot from these verses that are short, because there's a lot of information in there. Mark chapter 12. Today we're going to be talking about the greatest commandment. And Jesus was asked this question, and Jesus, being God, gave us the right answer. In Mark chapter 12, you go down to verse number 29, and Jesus answered, "The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And he begins to tell us the greatest commandment is to love the Lord. And he said, well, that's easy. It should be something everybody should do. Well, it's not something everybody does, and it's not so easy as we live our life with Christ. Sometimes we find ourselves not loving Him like we should love Him, and not being involved like we should be in His work, in His faith, the faithfulness we should have to Him, and what we need to do for Him in our love for Him. And so we're going to break that down and just talk about those four areas and how we can love the Lord thy God more and more every day. He mentions here in this first scripture, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Well, why is the heart important? Why does he bring that out? Why does he segregate these into four areas of our life? Well, one, the heart is what you believe. The heart is what you believe. In Proverbs 3, 1 through 5 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding." The heart is what we believe. God wants you to love the Lord with all your heart because he wants you to believe in him in everything. It starts first at salvation. If we don't understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one, the only one that can take away our sin, then we don't have all our love to God like we need to. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Today we have a lot of people who are confessing things with their mouth, but they don't believe anything in their heart. They say a lot of things, and it sounds real good, but in their heart, they don't love the Lord. They may try to blend in and try to fit in, but the Bible tells us that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. If you are ever going to get out of that undone situation, God tells us in the Bible that we're all cut off from God. There's no way back to God, because when we're born in this world, we're all born cut off. We're all born undone. We have no way that we can make ourselves righteous enough and be just like God. How can we be like God? How can we ever have the righteousness of God upon our life? How can we be clean with no spots or no blemish as if we never sinned, when all we do is think bad thoughts and say bad words and do bad things, and we've been cut off. We're undone. But Jesus tells us he gave us his righteousness because he was perfect and pure. And through him, we can have his righteousness. And through Jesus Christ, we can enter into glory. But if we don't believe that in our hearts, we can say it all we want. And then we're going to meet God one day. We're going to say, "Well, we said your name. We thought a lot about you, Lord, but you never believed it in your heart." God knows our heart. He knows what we believe. And if you believe Jesus Christ in your heart, God knows it. And he will put your name down in glory, and you'll have a home in heaven forever and ever. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he did. His righteousness upon us clothes us with righteousness that God will accept and allow us to be acceptable in his sight. How can something clean, undone, and blemished and sinful ever be acceptable to God? He can't be around it. He's too pure and holy. But with Jesus Christ, we can be around him because Jesus died for our sins and paid that price so that we could have everlasting life with the Father. We get forgiveness. There's no other way to receive forgiveness. How can somebody forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins when they have sinned themselves? It has to be God. He's the only one that can do it. And He tells us how to, right in His Word. It starts with our heart, what we believe. But even as Christians sometimes, as believers, sometimes we can find ourselves not following the greatest commandment in the Bible. Love the Lord God with all thy heart. What a heart is what you believe. Well, if we look back in Proverbs, it says, keep my commandments, he says, forget not the law, write them in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. And then we get in a situation in our life, we get in some trouble in our life, we have something happen where someone's in some pain, some difficulty, or on their deathbed, or about to expire, and we don't know what we're going to do in our life, and we don't know who to trust. And God said, why don't you just trust me? If we love the Lord as believers in Jesus Christ, if we love Him with all our heart, we'll put our faith and trust in Him, and in our heart know and believe that God's going to take care of everything. That there's nothing He can't take care of. There's not one problem that He can't solve. But we have to believe that in our heart. If you're going to follow the greatest commandment of the Bible, and Jesus tells us the number one thing to follow, love thy Lord God with all thy heart. How are you going to do that if you don't know who Jesus is? And if you know Him, how can you continue to love Him like you should when you don't put your full trust in His will? And we do that all the time. I'm guilty of just as much as everybody else. We fall into traps. We believe the lies. We look around us and we think somehow we need to come up with a solution to our situation. We need to come up with some somehow we need to solve our own problems. And God said, you need to depend on me. Not yourself and your understanding. Trust not in your understanding. Trust in Him. Believe with thine heart. If you'll write His commandments on your table in your heart, and you'll do what these verses say here, and you write them down and put upon your heart, you'll always believe in God. And if you'll believe in God from day one when you trust Him as your Savior to the day you meet Him face to face, you're showing your love for God because of what's in your heart. God always sees the heart. He knows what's going on in every person's heart. And it starts with the heart. That's why Jesus began with the heart. He says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. That's what we believe. But then He says here, to love the Lord God with all thy soul. That throws people off sometimes. The soul. What is the soul? Why did He even mention it? If it's not important, He wouldn't have mentioned it. But it is important. The soul is what we are. Our inner being, we see that in Genesis 2:7, where it came from, says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what separates us from the animal kingdom. That's why we belong to God, because He gave an investment of Himself. That's why our soul is going to live somewhere forever and ever, because it's from God, and God cannot die. That soul is going to live somewhere forever. And God wants us to be back with Him. He breathed into mankind a living soul. He gave a part of Himself to us that we could be in His image. The soul is what we are. And the Bible tells us that He gave us that soul and He would like to have that soul back with Him for all eternity. And He tells us, love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. Proverbs 21:10 says, the soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. So you can look around and say, well, why is the soul important? It's what we desire. Do we desire to be with God forever and ever? Do we desire to be in His will? Or do we desire evil things like this verse is saying here? The wicked desire evil. His neighbor find no favor in his eyes. If we are desiring God with our soul, we would want God more than anything in this world. But why is it that we don't live like that? Why is it that we don't live our life as if God is number one and we're last on the totem pole and He comes first and we come last? We always have it backwards. We want everything. We want a new home. We want a new car. We want a new place. We want a new everything. Everything we want is number one on our... Forget what God wants. This is what we want. And God's saying, if you love me, You want to follow my commandment. My first commandment to you is to love the Lord with all your heart. Everything that you believe better be about me. And love the Lord with all your soul. Everything that you are needs to be about me. The soul came from me. He wants the soul back. And everything that we are needs to be centered around God. That means all our desires in this lifetime cannot be focused on us. It's easy for us to do that, isn't it? We focus on our jobs, we focus on our promotions, we focus on our future, we focus on our retirement, we focus on our kids, we focus on our grandkids, we focus on all this stuff that brings us joy, and that's fine. But it cannot be number one in our life. God says, if you're going to love me, and you're going to follow my commandments, love the Lord thy God with all your soul. Everything that you are needs to be centered around me, and not the other way around. You know, in the Old Testament, when they were traveling in the wilderness, they had the tabernacle at that time. That's where God would dwell with them and in a way to show that he's in the midst of their camp and he was guiding them by day and night. And every time they would stop in camp, they would have to put up this tabernacle, and the priest would go in and they'd sanctify the tabernacle and they'd make it clean and do the blood offering, the things that showed and the type of Christ and what he was going to do for us. That's what the whole point of that tabernacle. But where was that tabernacle located? They always opened up and erected the tabernacle in the center of camp, right in the middle of where everybody was at. Do you know, in the New Testament, we have the church. It wasn't in the Old Testament. The Old Testament had the tabernacle. Then when they got to the Promised Land, they had the temple. And when Jesus got resurrected from the dead, we had the church. Where is God in the believer? In your heart, in the center of your being. That's how he wants him. That's how he wants to be in your life as well. He wants to be in the center. He wants everything to revolve around you. Yes, it's fine to have a job. Yes, it's fine to get promoted. Yes, it's fine to have things in life. Yes, it's fine to have a family and friends and fellowships and all kind of stuff. But it better be centered around Jesus. If you love him. And he gives us that first and quick commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And then he says, with all thy mind. Why is that important? Because the mind is what we think. The mind is what we think. 2 Corinthians 2:15 tells us we have the mind of Christ. So we ought to be thinking about the things that Christ thinks of. Philippians 4:8 tells us, though, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What we think about determines our love for the Lord. Because if we're thinking about the wrong things all the time, we're not thinking about our Lord. If we're allowing things to complicate our life and we're thinking about our problems and our trials and our difficulties, we're worrying about everything in the world and how it's all going to come to pass. We don't know how long things are going to last in our country. We don't know what laws are going to be changed. We don't know if we're going to have a retirement when we finally hit the age. We start worrying about all these things and God says, what are you thinking about? Think about those things that are lovely and pure and honest, and think about those things that just bring joy into your heart. Think about me. If you love the Lord, you'll think about him more than you think about everything else. I say, well, I don't even know what I'm going to eat for lunch today. Why are you even thinking about it? I don't want to bring bad news, but you could get hit by a car before you go to lunch today. You could meet the Lord before you have lunch today. So lunch may not be so important. Why can't we just focus on the Lord? We have a hard time just getting our mind focused on God. When God tells us we have the mind of Christ, we can look on these things, think on these things, set our affections on the things above instead of the things around us, and we'll have a better life, a happier life, a joyful life, and all of a sudden we'll love God more than we ever loved him before. It takes our heart to understand that God is our Lord and Savior, and we believe in him with all our hearts. And there's nothing that will change the way you believe. But then he says, you ought to center your soul around my life as well. Everything that you are needs to be circled around me. and everything that you think of needs to be me first. Well, it sounds like God wants to be number one in your life. Yes, that's exactly what He wants to be. He doesn't want anything to stand in your way. When you get to glory and you meet Jesus face to face and you're in the presence of God, what are you going to be thinking about? Oh, I wonder if I still got time to go to the market today. I wonder if Walmart's still open. I wonder if I got a coupon somewhere. I wonder if I got gas in my car. I wonder how, am I going to have to take off from vacation time to be here? You're not thinking about all that. You're seeing the true God in His true form, which we have never seen ever. The Bible says no man has seen God. When we see Him like He really is, and we acknowledge His glory and His presence, and it just, His, the glory of the Lord just fills the throne of God, and we're standing in the presence of God, and we see the glory of the Lord as if we've never seen Him before. You're going to be wondering about nothing but Him. He's on the throne. He is number one. He says, if you love the Lord God, and they, all these guys trying to trick him and say, what is the greatest commandment of the Bible? Well, He gave him one, all right. Love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind. But He mentions one more, with all thy strength. What is strength? That's what you do. That's what you do. The strength is what you do. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 15 says, every man's work shall be made manifest. That word manifest means to be made known. Every man's work shall be made known or made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Loving the Lord with all thy strength is what you do. And I've been here and I understand this, and I know, especially in the day and age that we live in now, this is probably one of the hardest ones to do. Because what we do in our mind is seldom, we seldom ask, what does God want me to do today? When was the last time you woke up in the morning and says, I wonder what God's going to have me do today? No, you got up and did your same routine. You got dressed. You brushed your dirty teeth. You ate something. You rushed out the door, got coffee at Starbucks or something, drove through traffic for an hour and a half, got to your job, and got over there, and everybody's mad and angry, and you had a bunch of work you got to do. And all of a sudden, your life is consumed. And you didn't once ask what God wanted me to do today. Maybe there's somebody He wanted you to see at lunch. Maybe there's somebody He wanted you to pass by at the gas station. Maybe there's somebody He wanted to give a flyer or a tract about Jesus, or one of those booklets that we have about who is Jesus and other things. Maybe there's some connection that God wanted you to do. Maybe there's some work that you want Him to do. Maybe there's some, I wonder if there's anything, when's the last time you woke up and said, I wonder if there's anything at the church God wants me to do today? A lot of us don't say that first thing in the morning every day. But you know, if we love the Lord with all thy strength, that means that everything that we do ought to be centered around Him. It's okay. God gave you a job. He wants you to go to that job. But you know what? He wants to be number one. He wants to be number one. And all your strength, everything that you do, even if it's at the Dollar Tree, God wants to be number one. God wants to be number one at your workplace. He said, well, I don't know how to do that. Oh, I'll just take a stand for the Lord every now and then. You know, when they're all cussing and telling them, just say, look, you know, I don't appreciate that language. I'm a child of God, and God doesn't like that, and I don't like that. Or you're at your lunch break, and everybody's reading the stupid popular books and stuff, and you bring your Bible, and you read your word or something. Or maybe you want to have a Bible study with somebody and say, you know, why don't we meet every 10 minutes at lunch? We're just going to meet together. We're just going to share a verse with each other and just talk about the Lord for a little bit. Wouldn't that change your workplace? You know, there's all kinds of things we can do like that. But we're not going to even think of them if we don't think about God being number one in our strength. Everything that we do needs to be centered around God. Why did God mention these four things? Why is it the greatest commandment? Jesus answered, the first of all commandments is hear. I wish we would just hear him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You're going to love God. God wants you to show it. Show me in your heart that you love me. Show me in your soul that you love me. Show me in your mind that you love me. Show me in your strength, in your work, that you love me. That's what God wants. What do we want from God? Oh, man, we want all kind of stuff. God only wants one thing. He wants to be number one in your life. That's all he wants. Can we make him number one? Can we allow God to be number one in our life in all areas? He didn't leave anything out. He covered it all. He wants to be number one. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us to make the right decisions this morning. And God is always about decision making. Following him, trusting him, believing in him. It's all decisions that we make. Let's stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer. And let's just ask God. Just between you and him. It's not between anybody else here. It's just between you and him. God knows your heart. He knows exactly what you're thinking about. He knows what's going on in your soul. He knows what happened at your workplace and what you're involved in. And everything. He knows it all. There's nothing you can hide from the Lord. But this moment right now, we need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, maybe you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you ever just ask God to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you and make you whole, that you can have everlasting life. You can do that today by just calling upon his name, as Romans 10:12 told us, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God has been raised from the dead and confess him, you can be saved. Just ask him to save you today. Maybe you're here today and you know that your relationship with God is good and it's exactly what God expects, because he built it that way. He told you that we just need to trust him. And you trust him in salvation, but you're having a difficult time maybe trusting him with your life problems, trusting him with your situations in the family, trusting with your children, trusting him with every promise that he's given us in the Bible, that everything's going to be okay. It's all in his hands. Sometimes we don't believe that. We have a hard time giving God everything in our life. Maybe we're not following him as much or representing him like we should at our workplaces. Maybe we spend too much time doing other things instead of doing what God wants us to do. Or maybe you just don't even ask what you'd have us do today, Lord. Whatever the need is today, would you just pray and ask God to help you to change, to be more like him every day? Because God wants us to be in his image every day, to be sanctified and changed. We can do it through his help if we'll just ask him. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time we have here today. I ask that you'll be in the midst of every person's heart right now. And whatever the need is, whatever's on their heart, Lord, you know their heart. Whatever they need to do right now, would they just call upon you and ask? Would they just trust in you, Lord, in everything? Help us, Father, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need, we pray together. If you'd like to come to the altar, if you'd like to come forward and pray right here by yourself and just leave it up to God. Maybe you just want to pray where you're at in your pew and you just want to call upon God. Would you do that right now? Make a decision right now what you're going to do with Jesus and how he's going to affect your life.